So right now, more than ever, it's really important for all of us to support the creators that we enjoy and who make the content that we consume. And that's because as creators, like, we really don't have any safety nets. So as artists who don't have, like, a stable income, Cassandra and I lost a lot of our income because of the COVID shutdowns. And so I do want to especially thank our patrons right now more than ever, because your contributions are like a super keeping this thing going. So thank y'all. If you want to become a patron, you can go over to patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link will be in the description. Specifically, I do want to thank some of our I Know Her level patrons. Those are Jen A, Christian, Daniel V, Yasmin, Jason B, Valentina R, Adri, Cassandra G, Alana F, Linda M, Jocelyn D, Amanda, Evelyn, Ronnie L, Jerry R, Abigail D, Aranya, and Kimberly B. Y'all really are getting us through this time, so if you want to keep seeing content, feel free to support us. Again, that's patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. I really, really appreciate anything you can contribute, like, even if it's a dollar, like, for real, that really goes a long way. Yeah, so now, let's go to the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Hello there.
And welcome. Sup, Bernie Bros.
Wow.
Welcome back to another episode.
I was trying to be all smooth. All right. Welcome back, bitches. We are bringing you another hot piping episode of Bitter Brown Fems. I'm your host, Ruben.
What's that? And I'm your host, Bernie Bro Cassandra here.
Bernie Bra.
Bernie Bray.
Bernie Bra, Bernie Brex.
Burning bras in the name of feminism.
Burning bras for Bernie Bros. Fuck, make that hashtag trend, bro.
So, here we are bringing you another another electoral episode. This is like electoral part two, right?
Because honestly, I'm gonna stop giving a fuck once the general election happens. Like,
yeah. So. I hope everyone is doing awesome. How are you doing, Ruben?
I'm doing good. Except I think I have this pimple in my lip, and yeah, that's about it. But I'm good.
I have a pimple on the side of my head somewhere. God. Oh, wait, my cheek or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you been?
I've been okay. Now I never know, like, when the last time we recorded is. Because usually, you know, before we were, like, so long ago. And now I can't keep track. I've been good. Just working. And dealing with some heavy stuff. But we're definitely going to talk about that on another episode. But aside from that, I think, like, this last week I've been in good spirits. And mostly that's just keeping busy and organizing with some folks, and yeah. Tomorrow is International Women's Day. Also, March is Women's History Month. So tomorrow, and what we're going to talk about on our next episode, hopefully, but yeah, that tomorrow is International Women's Day, and women in Mexico, and I'm sure women in other places as well, are protesting or having marches. But specifically in Mexico, you know, with all the femicides that we've seen, especially lately, and all the coverage, it's going to be a big thing. And I'm going to go to Juarez tomorrow, so I'll let you all know how that goes. Yep, and just that also women in Mexico on Monday, on March 9th, are also calling for a national strike. It's called Un Día Sin Mujeres, a day without women, so they are not going to go to work, they're not going to go to school, they're not going to participate in buying anything. And I think we might have seen that here. I don't know if it was with women. Maybe it was like Day Without an Immigrant here. I think it's like different. It's different doing it in the U.S. than it is in Mexico, where there's a lot to lose, right? Like these women that don't show up for work, right, at the maquila, they could lose their job. right? And I mean, that's anywhere as well, but I think it hits a lot of things in Mexico where it's like, what would it be if women weren't working at the Miquelas, weren't taking care of children, weren't participating in the economy, and how much like everyone relies on women's labor, whether it's like at home or like participating in like a capitalist society, and also just like physical labor, right? But again, I guess we'll get into that in detail next time, but I just wanted to put that out there because we're recording before. But also, yes, let's jump into this episode, which again is all about the shit show here in the United States that we call voting, or what are we calling it?
Democracy. Rocking the vote.
Rocking the vote. I don't know if the people that listen to us remember Rock the Vote. Is that still the thing?
Oh my God, I just realized, yeah, that probably dates us.
Yeah, that was like the 90s, no? Or like early 2000s. It was like...
No, that was like the early 90s to like early 2000s. Was it early 90s? Yeah. Okay. It began during Madonna's like Vogue era. Because she did like a... Oh. Yeah, she did vote instead of Vogue as part of the commercials. Okay.
Yeah, so Rock the Vote was, for those youngins out there, you know, it was like a campaign for like celebrities to tell you to rock the vote and get out there and vote.
Yeah, to tell young people specifically.
Like the MTV crowd.
Yeah.
When MTV was a thing too. So Rock the Vote, did you vote, Ruben? Or you did the mail-in,
I think, no, right? I showed up, actually. Oh,
you showed up. I thought, yeah, because I was confused. I thought that wasn't an option. So it is to show up in person. Like, you don't have to mail it in. That's just an option.
Yeah. Actually, I'm usually a mail-in person, but my ballot didn't arrive in time. So...
Of course.
Yeah. I had to show up in person. And then they couldn't find me on the register thingy. So, like, it was a whole big deal. Like, it was... I was there, like, an hour, like, trying to vote. And, you know, I live in Southeast LA, which is primarily immigrant community, and even then, like, the majority of the people who were voting there were like older folks, and so I went around noon to vote, and so to me it kind of just showed like who voting is built for, right? Because it's like, I don't know any millennial, like, I'm a freelancer, so I could take the time off of, you know, in the middle of the day, but most people, like, rush there after 5, 6, right, and so they had to wait in line. If I had to wait in line for, you know, an hour at noon, they definitely had to wait hella longer, you know, if they showed up after 5 or whatever. So, I showed up, they couldn't find my name, they said that they sent me a ballot, it never arrived, so... had to fight their asses. They had to get on their system and cancel my mail-in ballot, and then give me a paper one there and then.
And that is voter suppression, for those that aren't aware.
I got off easy, I guess, because most people...
Compared to other people that I read there was about. Some, like, yep. In Texas, particularly. I'm sure not just in Texas, like, South states, but... In Texas, there was, like, the story of this man in Houston, a black man, who waited for, like,
seven hours,
and he left, like, at 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yep.
And that is, why?
That is atrocious. Well, we know why,
right?
Yes.
But it's just, like, and this is, like, we're, you know, kind of just throwing this out there for, you know, I'm sure we talked about it in the last episode about people that, like, go online and they blame non-voters or people that don't vote for whatever reason, and blame them when, like, Trump is elected or a Republican or whoever. And it's like, what are you doing year round to fight voter suppression if you care that much about people voting? Because y'all just go online and you, like, harass people and you blame people. But it's like, what are you doing year round aside from being deputized to sign? Because, like, that is not the end all, right? Like, you people registering to vote, that doesn't mean much when voter suppression is real. Like, do they have IDs? Do they have a ride to the DMV? Do they have documents? People that have expired licenses, right? Like, these are some of the things that are used against people, like, in order for them not to vote. yeah, you just mentioned, like, people get off of work and they rush to the polls, like, childcare. Like, some people are like, I'm not going to stand in line with my kid out there on a school night, right? These all elections happen on Tuesdays. Just a lot of factors. Like, it's even people that show up to vote, like, have to leave the line because why are they going to stay there for 8 hours when they have children? They have to go home. They got to go to work. They have to take time off. It's, like, so many issues.
Seven hours.
Yeah, and, like,
that people, is a full shift, girl.
Right? It's like people, and don't get me wrong, there are people that organize year round that actually try to fight voter suppression laws and try to organize in their community, right? Give people rides, etc. But it's like those are the people that are not going online and talking shit. Those are people that are doing shit year round. The people that go online and talk shit and vote and say like people didn't vote and you should. And then I also see like this whole thing like, oh, well, early election, what is it called?
Early voting is a thing.
Early voting. You know, before, and it's like, yes, there's early voting, but we go back to the same thing, right? Just because you have more days to vote, we still go back to the same thing. Like, people still not having identification, people still having to take time off work. Like, I actually, this was the first time I did early voting. I usually always have to do it on the day of, and it's always, like, after, like, 10 minutes before they close. And this was the first time I did early voting because I actually had time, you know, and I had to take my child with me, which was also, it's also a big thing. But it's like that's not an excuse like, oh, you all have early voting. It's like we go back to the same issues. And also one thing I think people overlook about that, too, is like a lot of people don't understand how to vote. My friend, this was her first time voting and she was like, how do I do it? And obviously I can't go in there with her. Right. So you're, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you just like go and you push these buttons. And it's like, no, because a lot of people, that's still a thing for people to navigate, right? Especially people who have never voted, people who don't speak English, etc. And then the language that they use, right? Where you're just like, vote for this proposition or vote against. And then it's like really vice versa. And it's like this tricky thing. And you think you're voting for, but really the language is just so fucked up on purpose. And, like, people aren't necessarily also putting that out there. You know, this is what's going to be on the ballot, and this is what this means. And, if you know, people are not explaining that either. So it's just, like, a lot of things that people could actually do if they actually cared, but they don't. So you all need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, this ballot for me in California actually was a lot less confusing. But I remember in 2016, 2018... 2016, I think, was the most confusing ballot I ever saw in my life. It was like, do you refrain from voting yes to this, blah, 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 yes or no, maybe? Or it was just so confusing, I remember. And just being like, people, like, for example, the rent control thing that happened in LA, like, in 2018, the verbiage was so confusing that folks were not sure, like, what was in their, you know, best interest, right? Like voting yes or no on the law that would allow for rent control. And then on top of that, there was a lot of confusing commercials. So there's a lot of that. And so on top of that, I also want to bring it back to like to the fact that like people are blaming young voters for like not voting. And I immediately think about in California specifically, two of the biggest polling places for Latinx youth were Cal State LA and UCLA, and both of those lines, there was a minimum of a 2-hour wait on a school
in between
night,
classes,
like,
or yeah,
and like, so they were, the line was so bad, like after the polls closed at 8, there was still like, fuck, you would imagine like it was like, you know, a theme park line. It was so long. And I think it was like 10, 11 when, you know, there's this app called like Pizza for Polls, and that delivers pizza, and that they were delivering like until 11 something p.m. Like, you know, they deliver pizza to try to get kids to like stay in line and so, you know, they don't get bored. So you have these people who, you know, when you're in college, you have such little time already, like that spending 3 hours like standing in a line, like that's not very encouraging. And that's who is the progressive vote, right? Like the youth. So this is intentional, right? When you make it hard for your progressive core to vote, that's you telling them that you don't want them to vote. right? And so that's discouraging. And specifically in California, like the Latinx youth, like it was like 80% of us voted for Bernie Sanders, right? And overall, I think 60% of Latinxes voted for Bernie Sanders, and it's no surprise then that like all the spots where there was primarily Latinx folks, like the lines were ridiculous. The lines were around the block. The lines crossed streets sometimes. Like if you saw footage of how long these lines were, like if somebody told you, oh, that's like fucking, you know, Colombia, Brazil, Nicaragua, like any Latin American country, the fucking U.S. would have been ready to invade. Like they would have been like, oh, you know, that's voter fraud. Like, you know, that's a corrupt election. But because it's the U.S., suddenly we can't see the corruption. And so that's really upsetting to me.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. It's just like, it's not funny. It's just like our so-called democracy, especially when it comes to voting, is just a fucking joke. And it's not even a joke because it's not funny, right? It's like fucked up. But it's like when like other countries, like even there's like five people in line, we're like, oh no, we have to invade and show them what democracy is. Like, get the fuck out of here. You know, like we were talking about the Iowa caucus, and that whole thing was a fucking joke. But speaking on that, Pete Buttigieg dropped out of the presidential race Monday before Super Tuesday. And I had mentioned to Ruben right now, like when I saw the article, I was in a community space and I was like, hold up, everybody, you know, Pete Buttigieg dropped out. And we were like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then it was like pause. And I was like, wait, hold on. I don't think that's a good thing. Ruben, you mentioned that you also had that reaction.
Yeah.
And then was it the same night or the next day our Latina sister Elena dropped out as well?
Yeah.
I think it was the next day. And then it became even more apparent that that was very intentional. And the reason why I'm saying it's intentional, or other folks as well are saying that it's intentional, is that it left Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Biden, Tulsi. Is that her name? Tulsi?
Yeah.
Were they the only four left then?
Yeah.
I think so. There's only four people left. So that means that the people that already voted for any of those candidates during early election, I mean, those votes, they didn't go to anyone, technically. And then the people that were planning to vote for Pete Buttigieg, or like the few people that were voting for Elena, all of a sudden are going to vote for Biden, especially because they fucking endorsed him, right? And it was, and then they got Bethel's corny ass out here also endorsing him. Like they, and like I read an article that Obama was behind this. Yeah. He called up Pete Buttigieg, he contacted O'Rourke, and was like, gotta back up Biden, right? And it's like this whole like centrist, like gotta stick together bullshit. And everyone, one thing, like, because I know I've talked about my disdain for O'Rourke, like I don't know how many times on this podcast, but there were so many people that were like so hurt and shocked that he endorsed Biden, and I was just like, are you though? Like, I guess you haven't been listening to people from El Paso here, but why was anybody shocked? But I saw so many like shocked people that O'Rourke endorsed Biden. It was really weird. But anyway, yeah, they endorsed Biden, and that was very intentional. And I also shared this on like Line, and then there was all these people that are like, this is a conspiracy theory and you're a Bernie bro, and like to me, and you know, that like we just need us, that we're just mad that like Sanders like isn't getting votes. Like, it's just annoying because I know that lately we're like talking about Sanders, but before that, like I've called Sanders like a grandpa poser on here. Like I'm not a big Sanders supporter, but if we're talking about right now, you know, it's like I can be critical of Sanders, and I understand that, but I'm not like to say that it's not intentional. It's all in our head, and it's like the Democratic Party did that in 2016. They're doing it again. They've done it before, and why are we still acting like the Democratic Party isn't
inherently fucking corrupt?
Yes, and like fake as fuck. And it's just Like, if it's a fair game, you know, like, if Sanders is going to win, like, he's going to win. It's like, no, because even if people get the popular vote, that doesn't mean that you're going to win. And that, like, it's just, it's very frustrating. But anyway, Super Tuesday came and Sanders won California, which was a big thing, which wasn't surprising to me. I'm not from California, but it wasn't surprising to me. In Texas, Biden won Texas, but it was very, very close. Very close, which was a really good thing. I was looking at the numbers, and I'm not sure because I kept checking on them, but I think the ending numbers was like Biden maybe like 35 and Sanders 33, something like that. So they weren't far off. But I did post a picture just now earlier on Chicanisma of like how counties in Texas voted, and all of the border voted for Sanders, and that is very important to highlight. El Paso and like the RGV border communities are very poor. We're highly militarized. We're like testing grounds, especially for this administration, on immigration, on border security, quote unquote, on anything that has to do, like, we see it, you know, like, this is our community. These communities are primarily made up of like 80% Latinx community, also like undocumented folks, immigrants, right? A lot of orgs, like grassroots orgs, are like, we have little to no resources, because even though everyone talks about the border and like border issues, like no one actually comes to our communities to try to organize or like help us fight these systems. So like the border communities are very important, and like seeing like just all of these other counties vote, not all of them, but the majority, you know, that went to Biden, and then you just see like all of the border communities vote for Sanders, like that is something very important. Like, we are at the border, like we are the most marginalized in Texas, right? And also like this notion that Texas, like when people think of Texas, it's just like this white cowboy fucking Republican state, and don't get me wrong, it is, right? Like Texas is trash and it's like a red state, but the reason why it's red is we go back to like voter suppression and all of these issues, like keeping us from voting, but also keeping us in poverty, keeping us with no resources that we don't even want to fight back, especially border communities. So there, I think Texas is the second highest, next to California, like population of Latinx folks. I could be wrong on that, but that's to say that Texas does, like, there are a lot of brown folks here, non-white people here in Texas, but we are like erased from discourse and its existence. So I just needed to highlight that. I would like to see, I think also one California, Bernie won, but also like along the border, it was all Bernie as well. I'm not sure about Arizona. That'd be interesting to see as well, the border cities there. But that, I just feel like a lot of the times, like, border communities are never talked about. And again, we are right at the border. So we've seen, especially what this administration has done in the last 4 years, and we are trying, you know, to fight back, and not just for ourselves. And I can't speak for everybody, obviously, on border communities, but I know it's just like, what the U.S. does affects other countries, especially at the border, you know? So it is about our community here in El Paso, but it's also in Juarez. It's also in Mexico. So, just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah. Not only does you know, Texas, like the large populations of people of color in the South, because Texas is the South, right? Officially? No?
So that's like a thing. It's actually, I consider it the South, because on the map, we're literally like
the South. South. Yeah.
A lot of people don't consider Texas like the South. I don't know why that is. And then some people definitely do. So I'm always like on the fence about it. Like I see Texas as the South, but I've met a lot of people from like North Carolina and Georgia that do not consider Texas as the South. So I think it really just depends who you talk to.
Yeah. So when, like you were saying, like people usually say like, oh, you know, like these ignorant people or whatever, it's white people that live there. Right. And it's like, no, these people of color are like fighting tooth and nail to like change things. Right. And by erasing them, like, we do them a disservice, right? And I I am 100% sure that if voting suppression was not a thing, if people didn't have to wait hours to vote, the vote would have been much different. Results would have been very different in Texas. I guarantee that. Because the lines where it was the worst, it was where it was mostly Black and Latinx people.
Yeah. And I actually also, there was this article, back to voter suppression, in Texas, I could be wrong on these numbers, so I apologize, y'all. But I think it was since 2012, 750 polls have closed in primarily Black and Latinx communities in Texas. Like, that is not, that's not like a fucking coincidence, right? So Super Tuesday happened, and Biden, I guess, is in the lead, right? And it's interesting because the last time we recorded, Ruben, I told you, you know, when we were talking about the Iowa caucus and how Pete Buttigieg was kind of quote-unquote winning, and we were like, oh, the only good thing is that Biden isn't doing well, right? This was like, when did we record? Like 3 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
I think 3 or 2 weeks ago, we were like, Biden's not doing well. Like, we were so, I was surprised. I was like, wow, I thought they were really going to push for Biden, and Biden was kind of under, like, not even in the spotlight much. Yeah. And then he won North Carolina, and then Pete Buttigieg and Elena dropped out, and then all of a sudden it was just like Biden everywhere, like everyone endorsing Biden, and it's fucking like out of nowhere, because I think at the beginning it was like everyone was like, oh, they're pushing Biden, but then as like all these other candidates came out, no one really talked about him as much, and he wasn't doing that great, and then all of a sudden he's like the front runner. So that's not a fucking coincidence. And don't tell, like, for people to be like, oh, it's because people are voting for him. It's like out of nowhere. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
And I really,
out of nowhere.
I really resent that whole, like, it's a conspiracy. I'm like, bitch, like, no, it's the DNC, the Democratic Party at work. Like, there's no conspiracy here. They're doing it in front of our faces. Like, consolidating the, you know, their ranks, like, you know, putting all their money into it. Because if you also look at it, Joe Biden isn't, like, raising money from, like, individual donors. Like, not in the way that Bernie Sanders is. He doesn't have that kind of support. And the reason I bring that up is because, like, donating money is, like, the tell, like, of whether or not, like, a candidate has potential. Because it shows that voters are, like, so invested in you that they're giving you money, right? They're literally buying into what you're selling, right? And so when Biden doesn't have that type of, like, support, when all of his money comes from super PACs, and which are like interest groups that basically like tell them, like, we'll give you this amount of money if you, for example, you know, protect like insurance companies or banks, right? We'll give you this much money for your campaign. So that's where Biden's like campaign money is coming from, right? And so this is somebody who has flopped like every fucking debate, who in most town halls can't finish, you know, his speech without some major like flop. And I don't want to be ableist, right? But that's just the way he's not handling it well. Like, you know, there's a time when he was like, oh, you know, all men are created equal and you know the rest. Like, that was his speech. Like, that was something that he said, and then
he's like, you know the thing.
You know the thing.
You know the thing.
And then yesterday, somebody brought up something like, somebody brought up a time when he was doing like a, you know, human rights campaign speech with Anderson Cooper, and he at some point was, they asked him, why do you think, what are you going to do for communities that are impacted by HIV, such as the Black community? And somehow he decided that he wanted to go on, like, a rant about how, like, 15 years ago, like, gay people were meeting in houses, he was going on about how about 15 years ago, like, the perception was that gay people were meeting in bathhouses and, like, having sex all the time. And then you just see Anderson Cooper, like, tense up, like, really bad. And then he's like, no, but gay marriages last longer or something like that. And it was like, what the fuck are you saying? Right? Like, and it's been, like, multiple things like that where, like, he's not doing good under pressure. So if he's doing bad right now where it was just him talking to his base, you better bet your ass that Trump is going to fucking mop the floor with him, right? someone who cannot debate, somebody who has been schooled millions of times. Like, Trump is going to, like, see, here's the thing that Trump does, is that he pretends that he has working class people's interest in mind. So he's going to bring up his record with Obama, which is not good for working class people or people of color, despite what, you know, their little, you know, benevolent, like, Uncle Joe, you know, image has said. Like, their record is really bad. Like, you know, deportations, bailing out banks, sinking people's credit lines because, you know, they sided with credit card companies. Things like that affected Black communities, Latinx communities, and communities of color. And so he has no hope. If he's a nominee, we're going to have another 4 years of Trump, assured. Because that man is going to flop those debates so bad. I can already see that Trump is going to come up with some ableist shit, like calling him like Dementia Joe or something. And you know what? Like, not only is Trump, not only is Biden going to be affected by that and not get elected, but most importantly, the disabled people like that, you know, don't have Joe Biden's power are going to be put on the spotlight, right? Because Trump has already shown that he doesn't give a fuck about disabled people. There was that one journalist who he mocked, like, when he was on the campaign trail in 2016. And that was grotesque. That should have eliminated immediately. But because we live in an ableist world, that didn't affect his you know, electability at all, right? Which is another thing. Like, people, like, all these media pundits keep bringing up, like, electability, electability. It's like, bitch, there's a lot of people who are not going to vote because of Joe Biden. Like, he does not inspire a lot of us to go out to the polls, like, at all. To vote for what? Like, Donald Trump, except for he's nice? Like, that's what we're gonna get. Like, he's not offering anything. He's just offering, like, the status quo, which is, like, the same thing that has been burying people in debt and, you know, in poverty, who has left them without insurance for decades. He's part of this problem. So it's wild that A, people are voting for him because they think he's electable, because they listen to the media, right? Because they think that whatever the media says is true, right? It's this thing called manufactured consent, where the media says something, and because they said it, they don't have to have a base for it, but just because they said it, it becomes true. Right? So when they say things like, oh, moderates will vote for Biden and not Bernie, there's no foundation for that. As a matter of fact, everything points that people want all of the things that Bernie Sanders is offering. They present moderates as this, like, you know, middle of the ground thing, right? When in fact, it's like, no, like, I mean, independents, the percent independents, like, they're this middle of the ground thing. But in reality, independents are all over the place. They have different values, right? And so there is nothing saying they're going to vote for Joe Biden. But they trick people. They say it enough times. If that's all you hear all day in the news, then that's what you're going to believe. The media's role in, like, fucking over working class people cannot be overstated.
Absolutely. And you brought up a good point of what is Joe Biden offering? Because right now we're seeing, this whole vote blue no matter who, because a lot of people are, you know, already stating if Biden fucking wins, we're not voting. And it's like this whole discourse, right? Similar to the Hillary 2016 election, right? But I think worse. I think people, as much as, like, Hillary is terrible, I feel like people were more like, I guess I'll vote for her versus Biden. Like, people because are like, because she is what she is, but she was knows how to debate. She's smart. She, you know what I mean? She's like, Biden has not, and it goes back to that question, like, what has he said, what has he done, what is he offering? Like, people are like, well, he's better than Trump. Like, that is not something, like, without Sanders, without Warren, Warren dropped out, but, like, without Sanders, without Trump, like, just Biden alone, why should we vote for him? What has he done? What is he offering? Nothing. You have nothing other than lesser evil bullshit. And vote blue no matter who. Like, there isn't something that you could be like, oh, well, Biden did this or he wants to do that. Like, there's literally nothing. You just want us to vote for him because he's a front runner. Because, you know, they don't want to give it to Sanders. And we go back to, we'll get into Sanders later. But it's like, Biden isn't fucking offering anything. He hasn't done anything. And, like, if we're being real, the reason that Obama picked him as vice president was for that same reason, to appeal to conservatives, right? Because Obama was already, you know, getting shit for being the first black president. So Obama, and also, you know, Obama is also a liberal, is also guilty of these things. But for him to get Biden as his vice president was also intentional, so that people would kind of be like, oh, okay, well, at least Biden's more, you know, quote unquote, a moderate or more, has more conservative values or whatever. And that's the only reason Biden got to be vice president. And it's just,
It's also funny because he won, what was it, South Carolina? That is the first primary he's ever won in his life. In all his fucking career.
And you know what? Let's talk about, okay, the Latinx community showed up hard for Sanders, right? And I also wanted to talk a little bit about that, for which, I don't know, I guess we'll bring it up later when we talk about Sanders, but the Latinx community is not going to show up for fucking Biden, not just because we're, like, behind Sanders at this point, but because Biden and Obama, their administration, deported so many Latinx people, immigrants, undocumented people in the history of, like, the fucking presidency. So, and if you, like, even from the beginning of this campaign of, not the campaign, but the beginning of the debates or whatever, like, almost all of them, it's, like, Latinx organizers who have protested Biden. And, like, I think they did it at this one of these last ones, too, still. People are still calling him out, and they think that we're just going to, like, get over it or, like, ignore it. And it's like, no. Like, even, like, 2 weeks ago, people were still interrupting his campaign to bring attention to the fact that he had a role in those deportations. And all of a sudden, we are supposed to believe that he's, like, pro, like, immigrants, pro, like, DACA. And again, DACA is also not the end-all be-all, because that's, like, what Democrats and liberals love throwing around. They're like, yes, protect DACA. And it's like, okay, only a select few, like, respectable, in your eyes, you know, people that are worthy of that. But it's just, Biden is not going to get shit. He's not going to get shit from me. He's not going to get shit from a lot of marginalized communities. And people, those vote blue, whatever bullshit people, like, could just, I mean, they're just going to have to, that's, like, their own doing. You know, that's not, it goes back to, like, being, like, of course they're going to blame it on Sanders. They're going to blame it on the Bernie bros. They're going to blame it on non-voters. They're going to blame it on, you know, on everybody that's not gonna be down with voting for Biden, and ignore, like, the real issues and, like, the harm and violence he has caused on our communities. Because, like, at the end of the day, most of those people are white and are privileged in one way or another, and so they don't have a lot to lose. You know, it's easy for them to vote for Biden, like, who the fuck cares? But to expect a lot of us to vote for him is fucking bullshit.
Yup. And, like, the Latinx community, like, love it or hate it, we don't vote. Like, we historically, we don't go out to the polls. So the fact that we went out for Bernie Sanders, like, that is a huge deal. And instead of focusing on, like, like, oh, you know, Bernie Sanders didn't get this vote or didn't get that vote, it's like, bitch, he, like, mobilized, like, one of the, like, you know, what in 2016 was being called the sleeping giant. The Latinx vote in that election cycle, we were the sleeping giant that nobody awoke, right? But mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders woke it up. Like, you think all of us are going to, none of us are going to vote for Biden. None of us are going to, we're going to be sleeping. We're going to be sleeping come.
General
election. Yeah, no. Like, no bullshit. I personally do not think that if Biden wins the nomination that I can get myself to fill out a ballot. And you can drag me if you want, but I'm already, this is not even to sound fucking self-righteous. Like, I'm already kind of at my limit of, like, co-signing this imperialist state. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. Like, that's already enough. Like, the fact that we
are fucking are here talking supporting about Bernie Sanders.
Like, that is a lot. So, like, expecting us to even go further and just fucking endorse, not even endorse, just vote for Biden, like, absolutely the fuck not.
That's a, like, Republican light, essentially. Like, I'll go out and vote for all the other things, but I don't think I can vote for Biden. So for local elections, like, I'll do that. But to vote for Biden, like, not. And also, I have to acknowledge that I'm, like, privileged in that because, like, I'm in California. Like, no matter what, like, this is going to go blue. And you're in red states, and no matter what, it's going to go red.
It's going to be purple. That's like, it's not even blue. It's like people just want it to be purple, which is like sad. But I feel like the Sanders thing, like it was, I think every year or every election, it does get a little more. Like we see, you know, when I mentioned like Cruz and O'Rourke, even though, yes, O'Rourke is awful, like they were like very close to one another still. And then like Bernie and Biden, of course, they're both like running for Democratic Party. But also seeing that Bernie almost won against Biden in Texas was also like a big thing. So I do feel like every election we do get a little closer, and that's why they up the voter suppression with every election, because they see that shit. It's like intentional, you know? Para mí,
for reals, que like if Bernie Sanders runs, he would have a fighting chance in Texas. Cause I think Texas is at a point where it's not so much that they're Republican as that they're like sick of the establishment. Right, because mm-hmm. Texas has always been very anti-state in a way, right? And that just translates into republicanism, to conservatism, because conservatism is the most like anti-state thing. They don't want mm-hmm. the state to fuck with their money and shit. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a long shot, but I feel that.
yeah. So the day after. No, not the day after. A few days ago, Warren dropped out of the race. And before that, before she actually did it, there was a lot of talk of how badly she did during Super Tuesday. Like, she didn't win any state, I don't think. Not even her own.
Third place in her home state. That's going to haunt her.
Yikes. Big yikes. So, there's a lot of discourse going on about Warren and feminism and misogyny. Oof. Sexism. So we wanted to talk a little bit about that. I think it's a lot of different points. I don't think it's a black and white issue. Like, I'm not going to pretend like Warren didn't experience sexism or misogyny, just like Hillary Clinton. Like, as much as I hate Hillary Clinton, like, I will say during the election and throughout her whole career, of course she's dealt with sexism and misogyny, and people are going to write her off just because she's a woman, compared to, like, we look at someone like Biden, who is more qualified, Biden or Warren? Despite, you know, their policies, Warren is more qualified, more knows what the fuck she's talking about, you know, despite whatever we feel about her. Like, she's a better candidate than maybe, you know, we could say even Sanders, because, you know, for a lot of reasons, but it is because she's a woman, you know? It is like, even though, and it's like, she is a white woman. So could you imagine, like, women of color, a black woman, like, trying to run for president when a white woman can't even do it? Because, that's, like, what she's met with, you know? And that's, like, people love white women. So that should tell you, like, yes, it's fucked up. But at the same time, it's hard for me to be, like, feel some kind of way, like, feel bad for Warren or, like, be inclined to defend her, because I'm just, like... The same with Hillary, you know, like, I don't want to be like, who's worse, you know, Hillary or Warren, because I hate doing that, because it makes like someone better than the other, like, erases what the other has done. Yeah,
America's next top liberal.
Yeah, so I mean, I would have to say Hillary. I don't want to do that, but I would say Hillary. But there's a lot of problematic things that Warren has done. And she could be both, like Hillary. Like, they're good debaters. They're charismatic. Like, they know what they're talking about. They're good candidates. But when we look at, like, their policies, like, I can't, like, as a woman, like, I can't, you know, I don't, that doesn't, like, fly out the window for me. You know, Elizabeth Warren, for the majority of her career, claimed to be indigenous, claimed to be a woman of color, an indigenous person. And that has not been brought up at all through this whole, like, process. Like, at the debates, you know, I was like, you all can attack her, like, as a woman, but apparently, like, you don't give a shit that she pretended to be, like, indigenous Native American for most of her career. Like, that's not something that bothers other white people, you know? And
because they do it too.
Because they do it too. Yeah, exactly. They don't see an issue with that. But to me, I'm just like, no one's... So we're just like... And it would be a cheap shot, you know? Like, just... When I saw, like if Elena, for example, said that about Warren, I'd be like, girl, shut up. Because you're just as terrible. But also, like, no one cares enough to even use it as a cheap shot. And with Warren, the thing for me, the difference between, like, the Sanders campaign and Warren is that Warren really did try, I think, particularly to get the black vote, particularly black women, because I saw a lot of black women that supported Warren, or that still do, and it was kind of confusing to me, but it's not confusing because that was Warren's thing. I think she did a good job of trying to reach particularly the black community and talk about race and how, you know, she was going to implement policies. And Bernie Sanders' flaw is race. Like, he is not good at talking about race. And for all those people that love to share the picture of him and the MLK thing, like, that doesn't mean shit.
Call
like,
me out.
Like, I hate that because I'm like, first of all, like, stop using this one damn picture over and over. Like,
stop and me, that's, bitch.
Like, with a lot of, like, people that we know in real life, right? Like, DSA people, socialists, like, they're like, class, 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 class. And then when you're like, okay, but also, like, this race thing, they're just like, they shut down and they don't want to hear it. And I honestly feel like for me, like, Sanders is not good with race. Like, he hasn't been. One of the issues that I have with Sanders is actually that he is against reparations.
No.
Yeah, for the black community. So
he said no reparations?
Yeah.
Like, he said, no, I don't know.
And I'll try to find, like, I'll try to find the exact clip, but it's on video. This was, like, 2 years ago or a year ago, so I'll try to find it. But I know that he, I don't know what his question, what he answered, but it was pretty much no. And, oh, yeah, it was pretty much, like, very dismissive. Like, he was kind of like, we need to get, like, redirected back to, like, healthcare. You know what I mean? Like, everyone, like, needs this versus, like, the black community should get reparations, you know? Yeah, so I can see why that, obviously, why would the black community want to fuck with that, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, because a lot of people are like, why, like, when we see, you know, we're talking about Latinx folks, the Latinx community particularly voting for Sanders, and then we see a lot of black community, particularly black women voting for Warren, like, that isn't surprising to me. And I had, you know, I was having a conversation with Jose about it, and he's like, I feel like the Latinx community, a lot of our issues are class-based. And that's not to say that it's not also about race, right? Because we are also affected by, like, racism and xenophobia, right? But it is, I think, like, with the black community, Sanders didn't really do much to try, or hasn't, I feel, like, really done much in race relations. And I don't know if, like, race relations, I feel like that's what they say on Fox News, but hasn't really, I haven't seen him trying to get any convert, like, I just don't feel like that's his strong suit at all, which is one of the issues that I have with Sanders in that regard, because, like, yes, class is important, and all of the things that Bernie Sanders is running on, you know, healthcare and, like, student debt, like, that affects everybody regardless, and I think that those things are very important, but it all, like, you also need to be able to understand race and racism and, like, those institutions, and not just, you know, kind of be like, oh, okay, well, healthcare though, you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I wonder why, like, so many of, like, Latinx issues are strictly, or how we see them, like, as class-based, like, I think it has to do with, like, you know, non-black Latinx, like, proximity to whiteness, right? And how much easier it is for non-black Latinxes to assimilate, right? So I think that definitely is at play here. but of course, like, there's nuances, right? Like, in Florida, like, Bernie Sanders is, like, losing. He's not even at the 15% threshold there. Like, he's not going to get any delegates there. You know, if the vote happened today, he wouldn't get delegates there.
The Cubans hate him.
Yeah, well, because he sided with Fidel Castro. The white Cubans
hate him. Yeah. Those, okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to sidetrack. I just, like, their sad tweets online. They're like, they came and they took my family's cow and their farm. I'm like, oh, okay, girl.
I remember some seeing, like, I was like, okay, like, because there's nuances there too, right? But that was not what was happening online, right? People were like, they took our farm and my rich parents had to go to America and be a doctor in America instead. And I'm just like, okay, so you got a free trip to America and you had to continue being a fucking doctor and still be rich, but, like, in the U.S.? Because the U.S. wanted to fucking show Cuba who was boss, quote unquote, right? Like, I was like, there was just things like that. There was like, somebody else was like, oh, they forced my mom to be a teacher, even though she was already a teacher. And I'm like, what? Like, so they forced her to do her job?
They so, are a hot mess, those Cubans.
And they were white Cubans, too. Like, not that, like...
Karen.
And not that any of this is saying, like, you know, racism doesn't exist in Cuba, because it does. Like, if you, you know, look at, you know, where black people live, you know, they're not living where the white Cubans are living. That's just, like, straight up what it is. There's strong communities of black Cubans who are living in poverty in Cuba. At the end of the day, there's things that, to be commended from, you know, what happened in Cuba, right? And so... Bernie Sanders was like, you know, I don't fuck with Fidel like that. Like, you know, he killed hella bitches, but he also, like, gave everybody a book and healthcare, right?
Oh, my God. That whole fucking debate on that, I was so mad watching that debate. So, for
it's those it was that didn't red, it was a Red Scare. It was McCarthyism, like, you know, 2020.
For those who didn't watch, so this debate, I think it was right after we recorded, a week before Super Tuesday, I'm not sure, but prior to that, there was like this video that surfaced where Sanders, and I don't know how new it was, regardless, and he's just like, you know what Ruben just said, like, yeah, you know, I don't really fuck with Fidel Castro, but also, like,
he made some points.
he made some points with communism. You know, they're like, the literacy rate in Cuba is really high. And then everyone's like, oh my God, like, Sanders is a communist, and he's like praising Fidel Castro, and, you know, this whole bullshit. And so at the debate, they literally talked about that for I don't know how fucking long. And it was just like, I was getting so mad because, like, you know, people always talk about Cuba when they don't know shit about Cuba, and it's coming from a very, like, U.S., like, frame, right, with no fucking nuance. It's just like, Cuba bad, communism bad, you know, Fidel Castro bad, like, there's, oh, whatever. So it was just, like, them, like, well, you said this, and, like, even fucking Biden, like, all of them were jumping on him, and I wish Sanders could just be like, shut the fuck up. And it sucks because, you know, if he said that, then they'd be like, oh, he really is a communist, you know? So he tried to defend himself. And then there was also a video of, like, Obama, who had said, like, the exact same fucking thing. And no one gave Obama shit for it. And then Biden's like, no, Obama didn't say that. And I'm like, there's video. Like, what? And he's like, no, what Obama meant was, it was just, like, a whole fucking mess. But the real thing that Sanders said on that stage was, and I don't know if it was during this, but about how the U.S. Has staged coups in, like, all of these countries, and everyone acted like he said, like, this terrible thing. Like, they all started booing him, and he's like, yeah, like, all of these countries in Latin America, naming them, you know, like, Honduras, Guatemala, and all this stuff. And then it was just a whole fucking mess. But even stating facts, apparently, because after that, a lot of conservative people are like, Sanders just said that the U.S. attacked all of these things. And it's like, we didn't? Like, okay. So it's a fucking hot mess.
This is why I think debates fucking fail. Because there's no fact-checking anywhere. Like, they just let people run their mouth, and because there's no fact checking, the audience, like, the viewers at home, they just eat that shit up. They think that what happens on that stage is true, right? And most voters are not gonna go Google shit. That's just not the way things are. Like, we are very informed, but that's because, like, this is, like, it's kind of our thing, right, to be politically informed. But that's not, like, for the average voter, for the suburban mom, for, like, most people, that's not the thing, right? So they just they think they do their civic duty by watching the debate, and then they take that as true. And so when they see somebody being called a communist and that being presented as a bad thing, they get scared, right? So then that's part of the manufactured consent. When they tell you that something is bad and they drill that in, then you think, okay, yeah, that's bad. They keep saying it, so it must be bad, right? And that's part of this propaganda machine by the, you know, the Democratic Party. Yeah. And a part of me wants to push back a little bit against, like, the I feel like, yes, Sanders is not good with race. I think that he thinks that he can rest on, like, the laurels of, like, him fighting the crime bill and, like, not wanting to go to Iraq and then, you know, protesting segregation. And I think he's very much, like, the type that's like, you know, let my actions speak. But we're not living in an era where people accept that. We're living in an era of showmanship. Like, you have to show, like, you have to be a peacock about all these things, right? And I don't think he knows how to do that, right? I also think that it's because the people who are voting are all older. Older people are just generally more conservative. Like, and that isn't only, there's this, like, hyper-fixation in the media right now on, like, the black vote. But it's like, bitch, who the fuck do white people vote for? Like, mm-hmm. Who do they vote for? Who do older Latinxes vote for? Because if we were going on, like, shit that, like, you know, records that happened in 2018, 2016, 30% of Latinx people voted Republican. Right? So, that's, I don't know if that's like, a fair scale to measure Sanders on. But I think that's something that they're holding on to because, yeah, the narrative is that Sanders is not good with race. And to go back to Warren too, on like her hiring a lot of black women and like resonating with them, I also feel like that was very calculated, because if she has one underrepresented group, the other group that she has actively harmed, right, like Native women specifically, whenever they raise their concerns, it's like, well, they have this other marginalized group to shield me from that. And I feel like that is definitely at play here. And I don't know if that's bad for me to say, but I feel that's what happened. Because looking at the people that were defending Warren to the day, some of them are people that I really fucked with before. And seeing them, like, ignore kind of the violence that Warren has done against, like, Native women, like, it didn't sit right with me, and I feel like that was very calculated.
No, absolutely. I mean, everything in politics is calculated. So, and specifically with Warren, this is someone who just is, like, a fucking self-loving capitalist. Like,
Can I take that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I'm sorry, but if you call yourself a capitalist, there's no way that you can also be for racial equality or racial or, like, you know, social justice. Because capitalism is literally founded on slavery and on the continued slavery of black people, right? Because that's, you know, the prison industrial complex is such, like, still, not only is it modern slavery, but it is still kind of like the engine that keeps capitalism going because of so much unpaid labor that happens in prison, right? And who are the people in prison? It's black men primarily. It's black women. It's Latinx men, Latinx women, right? Like, you cannot be a capitalist and then claim to be about, like, you know, about racial equality. That those things are incongruent, right? Because at the root of the big capitalist sin is that None of the capital that we have around us, none of this would be possible without slavery. So, that's just, to me, it's just like, she got, like, all these, like, social justice internet people on her side that all casually just, like, ignore the part where, like, there was some disconnect between what she says she was about and what she was actually about.
Thank you for beautifully stating that. I completely agree on that. And it's just, you summed up what I felt about that, about Warren. And also, I could be wrong on this too, but I just feel like a lot of her supporters are, aside from, you know, we're mentioning black women particularly, aside from that, like, a lot of white, I mean, this isn't shocking, white women or just people that are still, you know, maybe have student debt, but aren't as, I think, as affected. Like, they still have some sort of, at least, like, privilege, at least some kind of class privilege. Maybe they're not rich, but, like, educated for sure. That's what I felt, and I could be wrong, but this was all, like, you know, based on interactions, seeing Warren supporters online. So I could be wrong on that. I just felt like, yes, Warren is a good candidate. You know, when we say good candidate, I'm talking in the political, like, sense in this process, right? Because obviously she's not a good a good person to be president. But and given, like, debates, given, like, policies, obviously she was qualified in that sense, I feel. And yes, she got snubbed out because she is a woman. Like, that is, we're not going to sit here and deny that, obviously. But it's also, like, that's not going to make me sympathize with her. That's not going to make me defend her. That's not going to, that doesn't do anything for me, like, at all. Like, it doesn't move me in any fucking way. And I think, you know, I had said before she dropped out, you know, Warren should drop the fuck out because Pete Buttigieg dropped out and so did Elena, and that was intentional. And if she cared, she didn't win shit. This was before Super Tuesday. So after Super Tuesday, I think a lot of people were like, yo, she needs to drop out and, like, endorse Biden. I mean, endorse Sanders. And that's a whole nother conversation that I'm seeing right now. But a lot of the comments were like, why does this woman need to drop out to, like, lift men up, particularly Sanders? And, like, this whole, like, feminist thing, and that, you know, like, she, like, why should she drop out and, like, Sanders should drop out? And it's like, despite all of this that we said about Warren, like, I do understand where that is, like, that thought process is coming from. But I'm also like, this is, like, based on identity politics, where, like, in voting in politics, like, we're like, woman, I'm a woman, therefore we align. Or, like, this person's gay and I'm gay and therefore we align, despite their terrible policies and despite their terrible, like, politics. And that's how I feel like people are with Warren, right? Because I think Warren and Sanders had very similar policies. I think Sanders more, and I hate calling them radical. Like, we talked about, like, Bernie Sanders is not radical. His policies, like, his campaign is not radical, and it's radical to the U.S., to the U.S., but their basic human rights are not fucking radical. So I think that Warren and Sanders were similar, but it's also, like, one of them calls himself a fucking capitalist, and there's a big difference there. And I don't really know where that thought process was going. I feel like I thought about something else, so I apologize. But I just, going back to, like, this white feminist thing, like, white feminists are doing a lot right now online. They're like, we're mourning. And I saw this tweet where they're like, we're going to put together a list of things that we're demanding from Sanders before he gets our vote. And I'm just like, y'all are doing too much right now. Like, because if you are a Warren supporter, I think it's very easy to shift from Warren to Sanders than, like, Warren to Biden. If you were actually truly, like, quote unquote progressive, because I feel like a lot of the things Warren said she was going to do, like, Bernie had already said it. So it's very, I think it's very easy to do that. But I also feel like a lot of Warren supporters are going to vote for Biden. And then there's this whole question of, like, is Warren going to endorse Sanders? Is she going to endorse Biden? Is she going to endorse anybody? Is she going to step it out? Like, I mean, this is kind of, like, up in the air, but.
Look, where to start? First of all, despite everything I've said about Warren, I would have voted for her if Bernie dropped out and she would have gotten the nomination. That, I think she is the limit of, like, where I feel like this is as radical liberal as I'm going to get, right? which is, like, if you're not familiar, like, being called a rad lib is not a good thing in radical spaces.
People call me that online.
Yeah. People haven't... there's been, like, 3 people who've called me that, which is fine, whatever. That's a conversation that I also would want to have, because, like, Chapo Trap House and, like, all these other motherfuckers, you know, the Young Turks, like, they're white asses can, like, talk all day electoral politics, but they're radical still. And they get $10,000, $100,000 a month. But, like, brown bitches like us, like, we can't talk this, or we can't talk politics or things like that, because then we become, or we can't talk racial justice, because otherwise we're rad libs, right? So that's something that I also, like, has been bothering me. But to go back to Warren, like, I would have voted for her, and I would have swallowed all of my fucking hatred for the fact that she impersonated, you know, that she was a culture appropriator for 2 fucking decades, right? And I would have still voted for her ass. And I know that if Bernie Sanders would have dropped out of the race, within 5 minutes it would have been like, and I support my friend Elizabeth Warren. Because despite what people want to, you know, the narrative people want to paint around, like, Bernie bros and, like, you know, you know, Bernie is, you know, a misogynist or whatever. Bernie has never said a bad word about Elizabeth Warren, even when she was attacking him. Bernie Sanders has never really said a bad word about Joe Biden. He just keeps bringing up his record, which is fucking fair. And that's also, I think, a fault of Bernie Sanders, is that he's playing too nice of a fucking game, and that's not going to work. If I was Bernie Sanders, I'd be like, look at all the people I've motivated to vote. You think I'm going to come for you? No. I'm going to be like, no, fuck y'all. I'm taking my voters with me when y'all don't elect me to the primary. Like, but he's not. Like, that's another fault that Bernie has, is that he's not about that life. He's kind of a weak bitch. Like,
yeah, that's why I called him a poser. And I know that's fair, though. It's like, I think at this point in the game, there's so much to lose that to play nice is like, I get it, but it's also like, I don't. Like, we need like aggressive force behind this shit, you know? And I actually saw, I actually went to a Bernie Sanders rally, like after we recorded, actually, like 3 weeks ago. I don't know. He came to El Paso, and so I was very interested in what he was going to say. I was interested in who they got to speak, because that's a big thing to me. Like, you're coming into a community. Like, who are these people in the community that you got to speak, right? Are they just people on city council? Or are they actually organizers here? I went. I was right. I think the weekend that after we had recorded, and someone had actually thrown my name out there for like who was going, like someone, you know, from the community to kind of, you know, speak on his behalf. And I think I was telling you, Ruben, I was like, I don't know why they would say my name. Like, I feel like I've never really been like, yeah, Bernie, you know. And then I'm glad I didn't do it. It was like another organizer here, Sameli, that did it, and she did great. And something that I was thinking about it, because I was like, this is a national, not national, but like a platform to speak on community issues here in El Paso and like the border and stuff. But then I was like, I don't know if that's me, though, like if I'm the right person to do that. And also, like, going out there means I would have to publicly endorse Sanders in one way, and I wasn't really comfortable in doing that. So anyway, but I went, and he spoke for like an hour, and then there was people that couldn't get in, so he actually went out there to speak before, like, while the other people were speaking inside, he was outside talking to the people outside. So I went, and then he went through like all the things that he's talking about, like healthcare and like student debt and like unions, like, you know, everything that he said. And I was kind of surprised. In El Paso is a blue, you know, Democratic, and I think the majority voted for Hillary here in 2016. But I think I was surprised to see that many people in El Paso at a Sanders rally, and it was like kind of cool. El Paso actually, as I mentioned, like voted for Bernie in high numbers, like a lot of border cities. So that was cool seeing that. As I was leaving, there was like these Trump supporters out there, and it's not surprising, right? There are like these little, like five of them that always go out, and I've talked about their main leader. His name is Anthony Aguero. He's like this violent Trump fuck here. And I was just, I think, on edge of a lot of things that I was dealing with at that time that had to do with like misogyny and violence against women. So I think seeing him kind of set that off. And also because this guy who is like this violent Trump person who was running, he didn't win, but he was running he was trying to run against Veronica Escobar, like for her seat to the Senate, which was scary because this is someone who held people at gunpoint at the border, people that were crossing. This is someone who has like a domestic violence record. Anyway, he was out there, and they were like anti-communist, pro-Trump bullshit, and I yelled at him, and then I almost got into this altercation with this woman who was defending him, and the cops were pushing me back, of course, because they were all protect. There was like 10 cops surrounding these five people, and I was like, why are you all protecting them? And they're like, oh, it's for the safety of everybody. And I'm like, no, it's not. And anyway, I don't really want to get into that, but that happened, and it reminds me of, you know, Bernie Sanders has said that this is like a rare thing at his events. There's like Trump supporters that go, and just like we also, I mean, I disrupted a Trump event too, so it's not like this out of the ordinary thing for people to do that, right? But I think, what was it, like 3 days ago, someone went to a Bernie Sanders rally, and actually took a fucking Nazi flag, and they, I think, removed this person. Like, I don't think there was, like, this altercation, but it was this really big fucking Nazi flag. And a lot of people forget, conveniently, that Sanders is Jewish and that he would be the first Jewish president of the United States. And that's, like, I don't know, just something that I feel is intentional. And, like, people are just write him off again as this, like, I mean, he is white, but just as this, like, white old man, right? And this happened, again, like, 2 days ago, I think, and no one has said shit. Biden hasn't said shit. Warren didn't say shit. Just anyone, you know, usually if that were to happen, and for, you know, I don't know if, I can't think of, like, a similar situation, but, like, if something happened to Warren, something similar, or vice to Biden, someone did that to them, everybody would be like, I stand with you, and I denounce this hatred, and all this bullshit, and, like, none of them have, like, been like, this isn't okay, or we stand with Sanders on this, or, like, nothing, like, no one has said shit, and it's not surprising, but it speaks volumes, you know?
It's also, like, about, like, how anti-Semitism is so, like, ingrained, so, like, people don't see it as that, like, as like, a big thing, I guess, right? There was, like, a bunch of publications that, even as they were reporting on this, they, like, framed it very, like, there was one publication, for example, that says, Bernie Sanders condemns Nazi flag at rally, and it's, like, that is so ambiguous, like, so vague that it can mean that he condemns his supporters bringing the flag, right? And
that's such a weird word to use, condemn. Also, yeah. like
yeah,
this is a man who also, like, his family,
his father's family was wiped out by the Holocaust,
like, directly impacted, and it's just I'm sorry, go on. It's just, like, the word, like, he condemns, like, he has to. Like, why wouldn't he condemn it? Like, I don't...
He's fucking Jewish. Like, when you look at the media and you see that, like, they don't give him any positive airtime. Anything good that he does, it's flipped into bad. Anything bad that happens is somehow his fault. Like, when you see the establishment working so hard to stop him, we said this in the last episode, but it bears repeating, especially after Super Tuesday, that, like, it does galvanize me to want to, like, rally around him. Like, because it gives me hope. It gives me a little bit of hope that shit's gonna, that something positive can happen. Right? Not only him as a candidate, but also, like, you know, people, you know, healthcare, like, I can fucking use that because I'm one fucking slip away from, like, going into poverty because of healthcare. Student loans. There's not a day that I don't wake up that I don't think about my student loans. Not a day. They are so overbearing. Like, those are just things on top of my head that, like, I don't know, that galvanized me to support him in a way that I've never felt about anybody. Maybe when I was a kid and, like, Obama ran the first time, right? I was like, mm-hmm. He literally ran when I was, like, 18, 19. And I had, like, no real political education. So, and then seeing the narrative that the media builds around, like, Bernie bros, like, I'm sorry, but, like, I don't know if it's because of who I follow. I haven't seen a Bernie bro other than, like, Chapo Trap House, right? And, like,
I don't know what's I mean, I'm sure some of them exist somewhere, but for it to be this whole fucking hashtag and this whole thing is kind of ridiculous, I think. And it's also, like, trying to paint people who, like, again, like, the people who support Sanders and want, like, the things you just listed, right? Like, that are in debt, that have no fucking healthcare, that have housing, like, very basic fucking things, right? Like, why wouldn't we be aggressive and passionate about that? And it's also painting people who are, like, trying to survive under capitalism as these, like, angry fucking aggressive violent people. It's like, one of the questions they actually asked Bernie Sanders on the debate stage at one of the debates that, like, all the debates were honestly just, like, all attacking Sanders. And, like, for people to say, like, they don't see it as bullshit, because I'm like, how are all these questions, like, about Sanders? And one of the questions was, like, oh, like, your supporters are very, like, I don't know what word they use, but it was like that, you know, like, the whole Bernie, like, aggressive or violent or, like, mean and lash out at other people. And, like, why, you know, why do you think those people are drawn to you? You know, and then Pete Buttigieg was like, I believe that your supporters are a reflection of who you are. And, like, they were all trying to be like, yo, you're the people that support you are just, like, these, you know, violent people, and that's because of you. And it's like, instead of being like, Bernie Sanders has mobilized the youth or the Latinx community and brought all these people together, it's like, you brought all these people together and they're just, like, angry and terrible. And that's, you know, that whole narrative.
Yeah. And all of this, like, ignores that, like, you know, Bernie Sanders is, like, you know, campaign leaders and his surrogates are, like, Black women. Like, we have Bree and you have Nina Turner, you have Breonna Joy and Nina Turner, who are here representing him, and who face a ton of racism. Like, the other day, like, some white commentator who was Joe Biden's surrogate told Nina Turner that she couldn't, like, she didn't know how to use Martin Luther King's words when it was talking about, like, the white moderate, right? So all of this shit, like, ignores all of that, right? And so that just reminds me of, like, how the media, like, is so responsible for so much of the violence and so much of the regressive stances that people are taking, right? And this is not only applicable to electoral politics, but also to, like, the real world, right? So, you know, recently in Puerto Rico, a trans woman, Alexa, was murdered, and the murder was posted on social media, and the media reported it as, like, a man in a dress was killed, right? And that, in and of itself, like, encouraged violence, right? Further violence on people, right? And then in Mexico, there was another trans girl recently that was murdered, and that the media also... The media also misgendered and, you know, treated cruelly Patsy Andrea Delgado. And so the media is responsible for so much, and I need people to... The media is responsible for so much violence, and I need people to, like, really pay attention and to be critical of, like, the shit that the media is feeding us, the propaganda that it's feeding us.
Yes. So, yes, and that's not that both of those cases, one was in Puerto Rico, the other one was in Mexico, and it's not an insulated thing. They do this here in the U.S. all the fucking time with trans people, right? And it's intentional. It's not like, we couldn't find any other picture, or, like, we don't know any information. And it's like, no, this is, you know, this is, like, very intentional. And it's like another, they, you know, trans women are murdered, and then even in death afterwards on reporting on their murder, they're disrespected, and it's they can't even get that basic, like, respect even when they are murdered, you know what I mean? And yeah, so we just wanted to highlight also not just that they were being treated that way in media, but also just to, you know, always highlight that trans women are always under attack. In the US, yes, but just everywhere, and especially in Latin American countries where machismo is still very fucking prevalent, and in our family's little jokes, transphobic jokes or comments, like, they are violent and they result in death. And I hope that, you know, we hope that Alexa and Patsy get justice, and that's you know, unfortunately, especially in Latin America, not always, you know, likely, but even then, we wanted to speak their name and just take that, just put their lives out there, and that they deserve to live. But I guess we're going to wrap it up here because we've talked a lot also about everyone. I don't know. Some people are like, shut up about electoral politics. But I think people enjoy it. I think it's important to have these conversations because it's what's happening right now. And a lot of people, again, just go by media. You know, Biden is good. Vote blue no matter who. And Sanders is bad or, you know, whatever. But actually trying to have these conversations and the nuances about that. But yeah, so who is our musical selection? Ruben, can you take us into that?
Yeah, so we're gonna play Bad Bunny because his album has been like on repeat for me, and also because like the day before his album dropped, he like went on Jimmy Kimmel's show and he you know, he brought attention to the transphobia and violence that trans women face in Puerto Rico and in Latin America by wearing a shirt that said they killed Alexa, not a man in a dress, right, to combat the media the media narrative around trans women. And so, you know, he made like basically the soundtrack of the summer, and it's barely March. I want to play Yo Perreo Sola. You know, it's like about a girl who likes to dance on her own. And I think it's very very appropriate for Women's History Month.
Yes. Love it. That's a 2020 motu, not just for Women's History Month. Yep. So, So I don't really listen to Bad Bunny. I know I'm not like, oh, I hate them or anything like that. I just don't. I know who they are, obviously. I know who he is. But I'm excited for the song. I'm excited. I saw like so many people like, I obviously there's like so many people that are like Bad Bunny fans. So like I try to listen to the album, and I'm gonna give it another try. But I heard a lot of good things about it, so yep.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Just as a reminder to check out our Patreon and sign up. And if you are a Patreon of ours already, I switched it up with our cards this month for February. I mean last month, because it was Valentine's Day and I wrote you all of little love letters, and I'm glad some of you love them. And you'll be getting one for Women's History Month. So those are just some of the perks that you can get on Patreon.
All right, y'all. Feel free to share this episode. Leave us a review on iTunes. All right, y'all. Thank you for joining us. Bye. Peace. Antes tú me pichabas. Tú me pichabas. Ahora yo picheo. Antes tú no querías. No quería. Ahora yo no quiero. No. Antes tú me pichabas. Ahora yo picheo. Antes tú no querías, ahora yo no quiero. No, tranqui, yo perreo sola.